Chapter 3. Don't keep me hanging from this tree. I hope that someone will notice me, 'cause I am fading fast. Think I want to be kidnapped, wake up in bed with a horse's head, start again on the cigarettes, burn down the house arrest. Evil With You by People in Planes. They chose a motel outside of Columbus and drove there after practice. The Sunnyside-up motel and diner wasn't part of a big chain. It was a decaying roadside motel for truckers and salesmen held over from the 50s. The warm and cheerful shade of yellow it once was now a soggy popcorn color, with rusted door screens and deep water stains down the lobby's outside pillars. They hadn't chosen luxury accommodations, but that was the point. No one rubbernecked at a hotel like this. Johnny and Janet arrived early and sat in the parking lot as Janet finished listening to the upbeat pop of Keep Me Hanging On by Kim Wilde. She killed the ignition while Johnny's eyes skirted the place.
I know it doesn't look like much, but I rented us the presidential suite. They promised us it would be honeymoon ready when we got here.
Great. Johnny replied. He'd zoned out most of the car ride over. His palms were sweaty and he had that pins and needles feeling that usually happened when he sat in a funny position too long. He swiped them down his suit pants and loosened his tie.
Aw, babe. You nervous?
Johnny shook his head.
Nah, I'm fine.
She smiled skeptically at him.
Okay, I'll go ahead and grab us our key. You stay here.
Johnny leaned back into the seat to a noisy squeak of faux leather upholstery. He flicked the radio on and turned through the channels before he landed on I Was Made to Love Her by Stevie Wonder. The major chords, up-tempo percussion, whimsical piano, and supporting vocals made it a happy piece, impossible not to move to. Motion was his outlet, and Johnny put his pent-up energy toward a car-bound groove as he watched Janet casually flirt with the desk clerk. She returned with a room key, beckoning him with a crook of her finger. He killed the radio and stood up, walking toward the presidential suite in a thoughtless motion. His mind was a roar of anticipation. Janet buzzed too as she closed the door and looked around. The room was a 50s take on something older and antique. An excess of wood furniture, with dark wood wainscoting over a hunter green wallpaper. There was a felt green couch in an entertainment nook, a porcelain tub big enough for two, and a California king with a stately headboard.
I almost feel like we're in a celebrity's hunting lodge.
Janet snickered, a bit of a snort thrown in toward the end. It was more substantial when she was really laughing, and one of those things that made her Janet.
It's, a little more masculine than I'd prefer, but I think I like it. They gave us a couple of candles and a bottle of champagne, too. Real romantic.
We'll have to finish that before James gets here. He's not old enough to drink, is he?
No, honey.
Janet smiled and smacked the gum she'd chewed throughout the ride.
He's hardly 20.
That's what I thought.
Johnny said as Janet turned to toss her gum in the trash. He remembered James's age exactly. He'd memorized everything about the enemy's roster.
Yeah, let's keep this legal.
Johnny twisted off their bottle of champagne and poured the overflowing foam into a pair of ready glasses and slurped what spilled over. Janet's eyes were half-lidded as she pulled her glass back toward her chest, and Johnny forgot all about his earlier promise not to drink. By the time they finished the bottle, that earlier buzz was a heady thrum. The room rippled at the edges, and the static web was worse than before. It was more visible now than invisible, lingering longer, pulsing stronger. But the champagne worked its magic, and the time passed effortlessly. They talked of nothing substantive and reveled in their social famine. When the knock came, they started from the spot they'd planted on the couch.
Get in your place, babe. I'll open the door.
Janet fluffed her hair and put another hand on her hip as she approached the door.
Johnny entered the bedside closet and closed it up behind him.
The cracked shutters provided a view of the California King, clothed in matching hunter green. Janet was out of view. There was another knock and the door opened with a muffled squeak.
Hi, baby. You miss me?
I left that message, didn't I? Just like you asked. But if you want more proof, James said with a nor'easter growl.
Janet snicker giggled in a high-pitched sound of delight. That's the kind of proof I like. Come in.
You been drinking?
Yeah, is that a problem?
Nah, just as long as you ain't too trashed.
No, I'm plenty lucid. So is Johnny.
Janet purred as they moved closer, their voices steadily growing louder. Nice place. James paused for only a beat. They were just around the other side of the closet wall now. He on his mark?
Yeah.
They both moved to stand by the bed, coming into the view of the shutters. James was an athletic young man, 6'2", with flame-tongued hair, and kept himself in peak physical condition. The rest of his definition was harder to see under the Michigan State jersey. When Johnny's eyes trained on that royal blue, the thrum vibrated deep, making his skull quiver across the temples and around his eye sockets.
James pressed his small, sharp nose against Janet's Roman nose, cupping the side of her jaw as he kissed her passionately, snaked his arms around her hips, and smashed their pelvises together.
The two kissed heatedly, faces pressed tight as they sucked each other's tongues with throaty groans and gasps. Johnny's throat tightened as James turned to stare at him. James pulled open the closet door. Come on out of there. Johnny blanched. The shadows thickened in the closet, whirling where they gathered. I mean it. Come on out.
Janet nodded alongside him. Come on, Johnny. Do what he says.
Johnny stepped out and stopped within arm's reach of James and Janet. Take your shirt off.
James didn't like the way Johnny was looking at him.
Now, take your fucking shirt off. If you're gonna watch my ass, the least you can do is level the playing field a little.
Johnny loosened his tie, calloused fingers fumbling in a conditioned compliance. The silk whispered as it came undone. He tossed it aside and unbuttoned his shirt. James scoffingly chuckled as he rolled out of it, his eyes heavy as he turned to Janet and brushed his two fingers under her chin with a crooked smile.
Did you do that to him?
Janet nodded.
You fucking twisted. Can't believe ya.
Janet snicker snorted, and they wetly kissed. James's fingers crept under the hem of Janet's shirt, but before he could lift it, James broke the kiss and turned to look at Johnny.
Get back in there.
Johnny closed the closet doors behind him, plunged into darkness except where it shone through in slotted lines. He stared through the shutters, blood pressure roaring past his ears, webs covering everything. Red threads ran between him and James, taut instead of draped. The shadows at the edges of his vision were black as the void. He watched as James made a show of their foreplay. The initial kisses sizzled in their intensity, lasting long through their desperation. Occasionally, James looked right toward Johnny. Then they were frenzied, wild in their need. Clothes hurriedly came off, and they rolled, stroked, and sucked each other. Johnny felt faint as if a massive weight pressed against his consciousness. He couldn't hear them anymore. His erection overshadowed every thought, like the Washington Monument. But even as Janet rode James like a pogo stick, loudly coming to her declared love of his young cock, Johnny didn't get off. Not until they laid in a sweaty heap for a moment and James started to go again. Then Johnny felt something deadly cold press against his chest like a bladed finger. A tea kettle voice whispered against his ear, chilling as an Arctic wind. Johnny came to the jolt up his spine. He didn't even need to touch himself. Johnny watched them fuck 5 times, but it was never as good as the first time. The treacherous heights that it brought him to were weathered, shorn, and shrunken. He couldn't get off again, and he didn't want to touch himself either. Janet trained him to think of masturbation as theft. He only climaxed with permission, or when something was good enough to overwhelm him, like that voice. The webs evaporated in the air, and the specter of death no longer haunted his periphery. After a late hotel-provided brunch of pastries and another half hour in bed, James and Janet showered off. Motor barely dried himself before he changed into civilian clothes, including a Van Halen t-shirt. Then he was out the door. Janet called Johnny out from the 3x8-foot closet he'd spent the night and a good part of the day in.
She stripped him slowly, had him rinse himself off, then drew up a fizzling bubble bath with foam banks. He was in first, and she settled back against his chest, slippery skin on slippery skin. Janet sighed dreamily, stretching with affectionate nuzzles. Johnny held her, worshipping her for all the discomfort she brought him. They stayed in until they shriveled up like prunes and the bathwater turned tepid. Then they towed each other off and drove home, passing exit after exit.
"What's wrong? You've been quiet,"
Janet observed.
"I don't know. It's just a bit overwhelming."
"But you liked it, didn't you?"
Janet smiled carnivorously.
"I saw how crusty those tidy whities of yours were."
Johnny flushed.
"Yeah, I think,"
he mumbled.
"You seem to like it more."
Gotta love 'em young. That refractory period. Oof.
Janet shimmied back against her seat, shifting her hands on the grip of the steering wheel. She threw him a glance from behind her heavily tinted sunglasses.
"Don't be getting cold feet on me now, baby. We had a plan, remember? Every week we can until the game. You need to stay motivated until we play Michigan State. If you're uncomfortable right now, use it."
She was right. They agreed. A Michigan player was perfect. Johnny didn't have the personal connection with them that he did with the Buckeyes, and an affair wouldn't risk all the messy complications to the team dynamic. And if he didn't like it and got jealous, it just gave him more motivation to lead the Buckeyes to victory against the Wolverines in the only game that mattered, especially with as close as this season was. Johnny stared at the highway, zoning out to a Cyndi Lauper song. They came home the next afternoon to a note scotch-taped on the door, decorative framing along the stationery.
"It's from Mom,"
Janet said as she peeled off the tape.
"She says she walked Laurel for us and played with him. She also brought us over a quiche. Aw, that was nice of her. God knows I love a good quiche."
It was the first time Johnny spent more than a second passing through the living room, and taking more than a cursory glance reminded him of the ceiling of spiders. His shoulders squared and his spine straightened, but he kept steady as he moved to the kitchen and stood by the phone. Roberta left another note on the fridge, giving instructions on how best to reheat the quiche. Johnny snorted in good humor and played the 6 new messages they'd gotten over the last 24 hours.
"Sweetheart, I forgot if you said you were leaving at 2 or 4. Call me back if you can. I don't want to leave Laurel there too long. If I don't hear back from you by around 2:30, I'll just assume you left and..."
Janet came around the corner, erasing the message with a press of a button and a smile.
"Love her to death, but the woman can go on,"
Janet said, and Johnny agreed with a crooked grin.
"Understatement of the year."
Janet played the next message as she pushed her sunglasses up into her heavily styled hair. It started with another squeegee sound, then a breath of static. The warped tones ended with a sharp pop.
"What the fuck is that?"
Janet asked with a quizzical look at Johnny, who must have looked like he recognized something amid the din of broken tones.
"There were a couple of messages like that on Tuesday night.
I think our answering machine's starting to go."
He started to delete the message, but Janet stopped him with a frown. She wasn't entirely convinced.
"Yeah, maybe. Guess we should take it to Radio Shack or something. Think you should have them listen to that message, though."
She played the next message.
"Hello, Janet. This is Doctor."
A woman's muffled voice began, and Janet deleted the message. Must have been a reminder about an appointment.
The next message began.
"Hey, Janet. This is Norton."
Janet erased that message, too.
"Every single time with this guy. Is he a pillowcase? I haven't missed an appointment for the last 4 weeks. Why does he think I'm going to miss one now? I hate dealing with hypochondriacs."
"I know."
Johnny started, but Janet continued.
"He probably won't continue his therapy when I'm not around to hold his hand."
The last message ended after a second of silence and nothing more.
"Must not have been very important."
The message was deleted with a beep.
"Guess we should take this down to Radio Shack before we settle in."
"Here, I'll help you unplug it."
Janet helped him disconnect the wires from the wall.
"If it's all right with you, though, I kind of want to stay here and relax a little. Maybe warm up that quiche. It should be ready by the time you're back."
"All right."
Johnny leaned in and they kissed each other on the side of the mouth. Johnny took his scarlet 1969 Hurst Oldsmobile and drove it to Radio Shack. Not the nearest one, though, for a reason he couldn't articulate. He chose the next closest, which wasn't much farther away. It was part of a block of retail spaces, with a Chi-Chi's two stores down. He was third in line at the counter, but another expert opened up a spot, and the line moved faster. The woman in front of him wore a name tag reading, Leah. She was a deep brown black, with a tight ponytail high on her head, and a Star of David with a medallion behind it against her bosom. Like the expert beside her, she wore a red polo.
Sir, did you bring the...
Leah couldn't finish asking her question before Johnny put the answering machine and power adapter on the counter in front of her. She plugged it into her power strip.
1984 Panasonic answering machine combo,
she mused to herself as she looked at Johnny. Leah smelled strongly of mint and had mint green corners to her otherwise emerald eyeshadow expertly blended and applied.
What seems to be the problem with it?
Here, I'll show you. Johnny played the third message on the machine.
That's kind of freaky,
Leah admitted with a bubble of nervous laughter.
Let me listen to it again.
She leaned in closer and Johnny played it a second time. Leah tightly pursed her lips, eyes narrowing fractionally as she gave the warped message her full attention. When the message stopped, she turned to Johnny. The two stared at each other for half a beat.
Aren't all the rest of your messages like that?
No, only some of them.
If it's a problem with your machine, it shouldn't only be some of the messages. Do you mind if I examine your tape for you? It might be damaged in places.
Johnny rolled his shoulders.
Yeah, sure. There's nothing sensitive in there.
Great, this should be fun. Could you leave me your name and number? Solving your problem's probably going to require a more intensive approach. Might be a couple of days.
How am I going to get your message if you call while I'm out?
Leah laughed again and gesticulated with her work pen.
Good point. Leave your work number, too. Or someone else's number, as long as they have an answering machine and can get a hold of you.
Johnny jotted down the number. During the season, he was there as many as 6 days of the week, and there was an answering machine to boot. She nodded along as her eyes bounced over what he'd written.
Cool. I think we're about set. Is there anything else I can help you with, Mr. Hazard?
Nah, I think that about covers it.
All right, then. Enjoy what's left of your weekend.
You too, Leah. Thanks.
Johnny came home to the smell of baked quiche. Janet sat at the table, team-colored fingernails swiping the pages of a glossy magazine. She stood up as she walked into the kitchen, pushing the magazine aside.
Hi, honey. I kept the quiche in the pan, put a small splash of milk, and just a sprinkle of mozzarella on top, then reheated it in the oven. It looks like it turned out beautifully.
Johnny leaned against the end of their antique kitchen table, lifting the pan's lid and uncovering the quiche. It was baked to perfection, exactly like Janet said. But Roberta knew everything there was to know about cooking, and Janet had learned a trick or two from her mother, even if most of what they ate was raw and whole. He cut them each a slice of quiche, finding the crust soft and crumbly even through the reheating. Janet lifted her chin appreciatively when he passed her the plate. Her fork fell through the golden brown cheese crust top, and she took her first bite. Her eyes fell shut, and she hummed rapturously.
Holy Christ. Mom really outdid herself. This is like the quiche of all quiches.
Johnny took his first bite. Sun-dried heirloom tomatoes, fresh basil, caramelized onion, garlic, shiitake mushrooms, prosciutto, and mozzarella cheese to finish it off, all in perfect proportion. This was one of the five reasons Johnny liked having Roberta around.
Your mom should go into business.
And stop fattening up Grandma? Not a chance. She won't stop until Nona explodes.
Nona's thin as a rail.
That's why it's gonna be a long battle.
They both laughed. Johnny got up to pour them tall glasses of the half bottle of red they'd left in the fridge. He passed Janet off her wine and they shared a smile. Janet's smile curling at the end like it hooked a secret.
I've been thinking about the garage,
she purred,
especially since you cleaned it.
Johnny sat down the glass he'd only just raised, fingers tight against the stem as his stomach rolled with a fit of collywobbles. Yeah?
Yeah. Maybe we can do that later this week. You game?
Johnny bit his back molars so that he wasn't too excited, balling his fist so that his fingernails dug into the fleshy ball of his hand. He left brief-lived, half-moon imprints as he kept his calm.
If that works for you, babe, you know it works for me.
Janet's grin reminded him of the Cheshire Cat.
I know, baby. Silly question. I just like the way you answer.
Another reminder that he'd served at Her Majesty's pleasure. Pawn who abdicated kingship. He relinquished his control piece by piece, simplifying everything and taking his conflict away. Johnny loved it.